It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this first broadcast day of August 2021. I feel it in the air. Summer's out of reach. Empty lakes, empty sea, the sun goes down alone. I'm driving by your house, but yet, no, we're not quite to Don Henley territory yet, but it's the 2nd of August, and that means that, and we're not talking about the tiltings of the earth or anything, we're just talking about the way we socially understand summer. Last month of summer, schools will be starting back in the midst of a raging freaking pandemic in no time at all. Hi, I'm Robin. It's Moran Monday on the horn, the second day of August 2021. And, many Morans there are. Many machines on Ix, many Morans on Terra. Mm-hmm. And, well, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. So thanks go out to our first and second day of the month subscribers. And what does that mean? That means many, many thanks to, many thanks to Shorty in L.A. Thank you, Shorty, and thank you ever so kindly to Rocco and Elizabeth. Thank you as well to Chris. Thank you, Chris. Thank you most kindly to Joseph and Rusty. Thank you, Mark, and thank you to our friends at Home Dirts. Thank you, and thanks again for wrapping things up in July and being such a help to our pal Joan. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program. This will be a momentous month. It's already been a momentous day. I was waiting for a document to arrive in the mail on Saturday, because I was expecting, like I said last week, it took from Monday to, well, it didn't arrive Thursday, it didn't arrive Friday. So it took 5 full days to get an ordinary first-class U.S. mail envelope from Fayetteville to about 11 miles across the river to me. But it arrived on Friday, and it was terribly exciting when it did. Some of you may have seen the pictures on the picture I put up on social media. It was a big day at the DMV today. I'm extremely happy because I got my new driver's license. It's safe. Well, there should be a stream. What do you mean, no stream, Thomas? Hold on here. Let me check. It's definitely a stream. Better not start storytelling before I've got a daggum stream. Mm. Let me see here, stream. Okay, Roger in Oregon says, fine here on headon.live. So, thank you, Roger. That's very helpful. I don't know. Check the derpiflora hexabide levels in your flagellate, Thomas. Thank you, Lee in New York. I hear you at headon.live. See, I hate it when things like that happen. Let me respond here. Okay, so all right, well, I'm going to continue to operate on the howdy Anatole. I'm going to continue to operate on the presumption that yes, we are streaming, because everybody tells me that we are. But anyway, today was a big day at the DMV. Got my gender marker changed, and a brand new license. Mm-hmm. And brand new photograph. I won't see it for a couple of weeks, but they give you a paper copy in black and white, and that will suffice until the new one arrives. Well, isn't that weird? Okay, thank you, Jack in Shreveport. I have headon.live, but no white rose. We are streaming to both. So, go figure. Okay, that's real, real weird. And meantime, why did that just happen? Well, tabs have screwed up again, too. Oh, it's such a Monday. But everything was working before the program started. Jeremy in Vermont says, stream is fine here, one small burp, and as to mail, I have a package expected tomorrow, but I've seen it sitting in New Hampshire since Friday. Not too far from me, but it definitely would have been here sooner in years past, no doubt about it. But it was worth the wait. I hope it will be for you too, Jeremy. In my case, I didn't sleep so well last night because I was all excited. What it boils down to is I haven't been this excited about a trip to the DMV over my driver's license since my driver's test when I was 16, January of, let's see, 1979, yeah. So I tossed and turned, and on top of that, I had a little tortoiseshell kitty cat patrolling back and forth across me throughout the night. So every time I got comfortable, she'd make sure and take a walk down, down me, across me, over me, around me. I was her little somnolent jungle gym last night. So I got up extra early so I could do my makeup and give myself a couple of extra hours to screw it up a few times before I was happy with it. And away I went to the DMV, and everything was great. Oh, congratulations, thank you. And the photo turned out okay, but there's always somebody. So there I am. The way it's set up, you go to the one desk and they find out what it is you want, and they give you the appropriate paperwork to fill out, and then you go and you sit down in the waiting area, and they give you a ticket with a number on it. Let's see, I was B271 today. I was hoping for D, but B will have to do. I was B271, and I'm sitting there, fill out my forms, and getting more, just and kind of waiting to see what's going to screw up, because nothing can go this simply. And they call my. I sat there for about 20 minutes, fully masked. Oh, believe you me, fully masked. Thank you for the error message, Dave number 11. I appreciate it. I will send that along to Ben Birch. Let me do that real quick. Um, Let me see here. Mondays. Just a second. I need some, I don't know, some fill music for when I'm doing things like this. But anyway, I sat there about 20 minutes. I was fully masked the whole time except for the photograph. And I was super careful to make sure it didn't mess up my carefully applied vivid red lipstick. And they called my number. I went up. I sat down. I got more congratulations. In West Virginia, no less. And we were filling out the form, and all of a sudden this Karen walks up to the booth, the window right next to me. And for some reason or another, they have one window that's set up so people can sit versus standing. I think that's not for some reason. It is a matter of disability accommodations. Only so there was a chair there. And I sat down. We started going through the paperwork. And there was no problem. The DMV staffer was explaining to me that it would be a couple of weeks before I saw my hard copy. And we went over things. And he said, hey, you can renew today, too. And you won't have to renew again until, like, almost the end of the decade. And I was like, cool. And I was like, cool? God. I had no idea that Tracy's Valley Girl thing could be catching. And so we're going, and the Karen next to me has showed up to get a new license. I'm guessing she's a pill head, okay? She wasn't a meth head. They're pretty, you know, they're pretty zombie obvious. And so she's standing there giving the DMV agent hell next to me. And she, well, you are all so rude. You are so rude. I can't believe how rude you are. And all he had told her, the rudeness, what the rudeness amounted to was him explaining to her that you can't get a new license. You got to bring the old one to surrender it when you get a new one. And that she can't get, and so she complained and complained. Well, I mean, look in the computer. You can do this for me, can't you? I wish I had turned on the camera, but, you know, then that, you know, the chip that was on, it would have been, I would have left it in a jacket that got martinized. Oh, it would have been, yeah. It would have been so, yes, it was. Stephen New York says, overall, the experience was positively pleasant. Indeed, sometimes it can be that, but then again, the maggots and the Karens you have always with you, and the Chads, and the Brads. And so she's going on and on and on with this guy, and she said, well, you know, when I went to the window the last time, they told me they would definitely give me the guy, and the guy would be able to help me. Are you the guy? And I'm sitting there going, the fuck? And then I realized it was Moran Monday, and that apparently that applies to the entirety of my day and not just the 3 hours that this program is on the air. And he said, yes, ma'am. And he remained professional and calm through it all. Yes, ma'am, I'm the guy. She said, well, who's higher up than you? I want somebody that can solve this problem for me. You know, and I'd say she was maybe late 20s, early 30s. And he said, well, ma'am, that would be my supervisor, but... And she said, well, I want to talk to your supervisor. I'm telling you, this is straight out of the Karen manual. And he said, well, okay, but she's going to tell you the same thing I've just told you. And she said, get her! And he said, well, I will, but she's at lunch right now. Well, how much longer is she going to be at lunch? And he said, I don't know, 15 minutes or so. And then... Karen comes over to where the guy is helping me do, and he's doing a great job, and there's no drama, and there's nothing wrong, and everything's working, and she gets over on top of me, leans over into my little window, and says, well, maybe you can help me. At which point, having heard this horrible human being as long as I had, I turned to her and I said, "Perhaps he can, ma'am, but not right now, because this is my appointment, and you are infringing upon it." "Oh, I'm infringing, am I?" I said, "Yes, you are infringing, and you need to step off." And I was already formulated. I already knew where this was heading. And she said, "What you're just doing is just waiting over there, because you've invaded my space, and there's a pandemic on, and you seem like the kind of person who spreads it. So back off." And then I said, "Now." Got down into my, "Oh my God, Usul has used the voice of command. Now." And her head kind of snapped a little bit back, and she said, "Well, all right." And then she thought she'd be cute, because I was to the nines. And she said, "Sir." And I said, "Thank you, boy. You really want to play this misgendering game too today? Because you're violating my social distance, and I don't feel like putting up with it right now." She said, "Well, all right, sir." And I said, "Good boy. Now, good boy, go away." And she stomped off to accost another DMV worker. And why somebody didn't, I mean, the state police barracks is right next door. Why somebody didn't just go, "Hey, could you send over the guy, would you?" And she was still haranguing people when I left. And I left happy, because I had the little paper copy of my brand new driver's license where it says F. Yes, it does. "No, Karen at the DMV? No, Steve, no. No, she was such a Karen." Lee in New York noting, DMV Karen forgot to call the guy. "She told me you're the guy." I know, for the life of me, I don't understand this. I don't. But I managed not to get in a brawl, and I'm happy about that. But Jesus. Such a Monday. What's the opposite of Karen, Steve in New York asks. That was you today. And it's fucking awesome. Well, thank you, Steve. And today, and by the way, speaking of today, today being the first broadcast of the brand new month means that we have Bruce's Memorial Challenge on the table. And that means that there's $300 awaiting matching to get us off to a good start here at the beginning of the month. And it's all done in memory of our dear, dear friend, Bruce, who was the sponsor of Shirley's Memorial Challenge back in the day. And at the beginning of every month, we remember Bruce, just like every call to the stress line. We remember Bill, Mr. Stress Miller. We have a bit of an alumni association in the Choir Eternal, and it's good to keep them in mind and keep them in memory. And adding to that, we have a note from our pal Rico. "Okay, so I know Podbean screwed you over, but the podcasts were always reliable. Yeah, I can access the program on White Rose, but the damn thing just keeps stopping several times during the show. No amount of refreshing helps, and you can only advance it to a further point, which means I'm missing your wonderful content, and it's just an all-around pain in the ass. How about going to Sticker, where I listen to most of my podcasts, or maybe Stitcher, or anywhere else where I can actually listen to your whole show without interruption? Anyway, a challenge. It's the Oh Please Get a New Platform for Your Podcast, or I Will Jump Off One of Pittsburgh's 81 Bridges Challenge." Yes, Pittsburgh is the bridge city. So many bridges. $50, and if it's met, I'll put up another 50, and you have to promise to use the money to get a new pod platform. That's a joke. Ha ha. Regardless, love you like a sister. Good luck, and Buddha bless. All the blessings of the Buddha upon you, Rico, into lovely, sunny, and blissful Berg. Thank you, Rico. So the Oh, please get a new platform for your podcast, or I will jump off of one of Pittsburgh's 81 Bridges Challenge is on the table, courtesy of Rico and Berg. And, yeah, here's the good news. This evening should mark the beginning of being able to podcast via Podbean again. We're supposed to be picked up by Stitcher, but the XML feed is all screwed up. And so that's a conversation that I hope to be having with Ben soon. Gotta get that sorted out. And Thomas tells me that FYI Nation's playing the head-on stream, which is working. So I replaced it, and I'm grateful you have a backup. Well, the head-on stream, head-on.livestream, is by far the more consistent of the two. But we do try to maintain a backup. Thank you, Thomas. So there we are. Bunch of challenges on the table. And a chance to really, really start August in good form. And hopefully, you know, when you get a chance to double your money, you can't really beat it. So that means there's $350 worth of challenges on the table. And if Rico's challenge is met, there's another $50 that goes in. So it would be fantastic because, among other things, program note. So this is going to be a short month because I have to travel at the end of it. Oh, God, here we go with that again. What's wrong with the audio? You sound so far away, I had to turn the volume up above 100%, like 120%. Well, Flavio, the reason of that is because I turned the noise gate back on. I turned the noise gate back on because the air conditioner is roaring back here. And let me see here. No, not like that. Okay, try this way. Even with the bass roll-off on the long-suffering Electro Voice RE20 engaged, the air conditioner noise is just crazy-making. And if I mute the microphone so that people, when we've got audio going, you know, or if there's someone on the phone line, so that they will not be overwhelmed by the sound of the air conditioner if I mute it, it just goes quiet. Whereas with the noise gate off, what you hear or don't hear in the way of the roar of the air conditioner is a lot worse. Thank you, Darlene in Connecticut. Your audio is fine, she says. The problem may be on Flavio's end. Everybody's got different speakers and different headphones. Right. Yeah. But at any rate, we got matching challenges to start the month, and that is really, really helpful, and hopefully people will see that and will start the month in a good way. But Bridges asks Ron in Raleigh, is that Bo Bridges, Lloyd Bridges? Remember, all white women aren't Karens, but all Karens are white women. True. This is, I'm guessing opioids. I don't know. Or maybe just horrible human being. That's possible, too. But, you know, when you're here, you kind of wonder, well, okay, I don't smell the guzzler's gin. And, you know, her teeth aren't black in her head. So that lets meth out. And, oh, pills. Yeah. You know, the sorts of pills that the Attorney General of the state of West Virginia helped dump all over this state. Yes. Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, DMV Karen, Matt in San Francisco says, anyone who works with the public for a few years understands the nastier they get, the nicer you become. It makes them crazy not to be able to get under your skin. Some people are just deplorable, Robin. Never let them see you upset. And I tried to maintain my composure too, Matt. But I was completely ignoring her until she came over into my little world. It's a big day for me. I think if I was just renewing my ordinary license, I still would have responded the same way, because it was, it was just nasty. She was horrible. And frankly, I don't care if she doesn't get her new license and gets pulled over by a cadre of 32 state police officers. I don't care, because she's horrible. But I'm telling y'all, because I never raised my voice. I did use that voice, but that's because sometimes it just has good comic value. And then I got to play the misgendering game, which I haven't played in a very long time. Yeah, it's been a weird few days. I was telling you, I'm going to be on the road at the end of the month. So there will probably be a couple of broadcasts, but it won't be an every night kind of thing. I will be gone for about a week or maybe a little bit more. I will take the road rig with me, just so you know, and you can mark your calendars if that's something you want to do. I will leave out of here on the 25th of August and head down, and I'll go and put flowers on my parents' grave that evening and continue my travels onward on the 26th. And then, oh happy day, on Wednesday, the first day of September, I'll be having a consultation in person with a surgeon. And that's a big damn deal. So I'll be back shortly after the first day of September. And like I said, I'll try to do a couple of broadcasts along the way. Maybe do some Facebook Live from going down the road and just yak along that way. But anyway, that means that we've got to be oh so fully funded. So meeting the challenge that's on the table this evening is huge. So, you know, please make a note of it. And that's why I had to do the driver's license thing. Because it'll take a couple of weeks before I get the new hard copy. And when one is driving through some of the most transphobic territory in the entire United States, I mean, oddly enough, the Republican Party took a shine to Vlad Putin in the last 5 years. And, well, there's a certain amount of sense in that, because places like Kentuckystan and Tennistan and Talibama are every bit as transphobic as is Mother Russia. Mm-hmm. Lots of transphobic places. Let's just leave it at that. But it was vitally important that I be able to have a driver's license that looks like me and is appropriately notated as such. And that, but it, like I said, it's been a weird couple of, it was a weird weekend. My friends over at, I was just so proud to have such wonderful friends, Saturday, because, over at Maggie's Pub, where, you know, I pop in for karaoke on the weekends and something. I stumped the karaoke DJ, because, you know, you fill out the form, you put down, you know, your name, and then you put down the name of the song, and then you put down the artist who recorded the song, and I guess I am officially older than freaking dirt, because I found a song that does not exist in its karaoke, in its karaoke format. Which is rare, because I've never seen that happen before. No, we don't have that. I mean, Jesus Christ, I think there's karaoke for Yes, We Have No Bananas. But I found us. And the thing is, it's a great song. A whole bunch of people that are listening right now and are listening to the podcast will go, I love that song. And it's the Amazing Rhythm Aces. And it is it's by the Amazing Rhythm Aces, and the name of the song is Lipstick Traces on a Cigarette. And it just happens to be in a key that I can sing in. I didn't say sing well, but I can sing. And my friend came over to me and said, I'm sorry, but she said this doesn't exist. I said, well, I'll be dipped. And it, who knew? Yeah, the song earwormed me earlier this week. And I'd just been singing it in the car and stuff. And I thought, okay, what the hell? Why not? And no. But that's not the... It's another one of those moments. I've said before that I could not have come out in a better community if I had chosen one deliberately than the community in which I've come out. And over at Maggie's, they've got a sign in the bar that says, "Be nice or leave." And that is the motto. That is the official motto. And they live it. Because there were some extremely drunk people. You know, I'm standing there working over a really badass, tall. I mean, it was tall. Working over a tall club soda and lemon juice with ice. And I only found out about this afterward when my friend, the proprietor, told me about it. Said, yeah, we had some assholes in here. There were 8 of them. They were drinking away. And all of a sudden, one of them says, "Wait a minute! This is a gay bar!" And my buddy's, the proprietor's, the ears perked up, and he said, No, it's not. It's a Fayetteville bar, and in Fayetteville, everybody's welcome." And so apparently the guy looked over at me and said, "So you're saying it's a gay bar?" And my friend, the proprietor, responded and said, no, it's an everybody welcome bar, except you. Y'all can get out. Don't come back. Ever. Go. And he threw the lot of them out. And he told me about it later, and I said, "Oh, Jesus, I'm sorry." He said, "Uh-uh." He said, "I'd rather have one of you than 8 of them any day of the week. Your family." And that is what acceptance means. And it was a beautiful, beautiful moment. So all in all, like I said, busy week, busy weekend. Oh, and by the way, I should have mentioned... Bruce's Memorial Challenge is brought to you by Chris in Germany and by Ralph's. Thank you very kindly for that. And let's see, we are off and running. An anonymous friend has answered Rico in the sunny, blissful, drama-free Berg's Challenge. Thank you. And so we now will deal with the challenge. Well, Bruce's Memorial Challenge. Emails been piling up. We haven't heard from Kyle in a little bit. Kyle is apparently working on a show treatment for Things My Dad Says. Kyle said, "Been a while since I commented on the show, but how about a Morian nomination for my father, who actually said, no kidding, just because there's more cases of COVID doesn't mean it's spreading more." To which Kyle responds, "Yeah, I know. I get the that's okay. Nomination granted, and a little cowbell for your sense of forbearance, Kyle. We're proud of you. We're proud of you, my sibling." Oh, and Dave number 11 says, "Oh, yeah, that's a wonderful song, Lipstick Traces on a Cigarette." The Amazing Rhythm Ace has rarely had a major distribution deal. Hard to find their stuff in modern formats. I guess so. I can't believe I'm the only human being that ever wanted to do Lipstick Traces. Because it's just, one, it's a great visual image. I mean, you can hear and I didn't say, well, okay, you can't find that one. See if you can find the Amazing Rhythm Aces third-rate romance low-rent rendezvous. Because, you know, why get just... You know, why get shot down in flames twice? Yeah, that, again, yeah, thanks for the link there, Ralphs. This one is Lipstick Traces on a Cigarette. And, you know, like I said, it just, the vocal just happens to be one that I can kind of get close to and at least stay in the same county with the key that it's in. Maggie's. Steve in New York says, hello, am I wrong or is there a cowbell in that story? Oh, hell yeah. There's cowbells all day long and twice on Sundays for my pals at Maggie's. I just love them to pieces. Bar story. Matt in San Francisco says, after hearing you recount the bar proprietor story, I think there's glass in my eye and there's a lump in my throat. That one gave me the feels. Yeah, me too. Me too. And it's a beautiful thing when you have that moment where you realize that you're part of a community. And I think oh, I think there's a possibility that maybe they threw them out before I could find out because, you know, what a great souvenir of your visit to Fayetteville, going home with the story of the night that you got your ass kicked by, by a trans woman in the parking lot. Learning to be a better me. I'm just learning to be a better me. That's all. Good news for you. Steve in New York says, you're the only person who's ever wanted that song for karaoke? I don't know. You'd think it would exist if... I thought everything was on the internet now. I don't know. Wow. That's how the week... That's how the broadcast week begins. Oh, and I hate it when this happens. I had... Ah, all better now. Goody. That helps so much. We are 37 minutes into the program. I still have more stuff to get to. Bar story, Lee in New York says, is this the moment to play the theme from Cheers? It feels a little bit like that. And hey, there's even a Norm at Maggie's. Norm happens to be a very large orange tabby. And he's just, and during, oh, it's so sweet. And he's Mayor Norm. During the shutdown, Mayor Norm was posting daily. And, you know, when the place is crowded, he'll kind of stay out of the way. But if it's, you know, if it's just the usual suspects and you're sitting around the fire pit out on the deck, he will often just come up and sit on your lap for a little while. And his name's Norm, and it is not unusual when he walks onto the deck to hear people say, Norm! Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And that's where we will have maybe like our Saturday night party when we do the horn in. And that's all, you know, that's all waiting. I'm going to leave it open all month long, hoping that we will get lots and lots of people who want to meet their other fellow community members of the Horn Family Community Congregation. And I failed to put up the post about it. I swear I'm going to do that over at GoFundBob.com. That'll take you to the GoFundMe page. But we got folks signing up, and it's going to be fabulous food, great entertainment, great fellowship. And I don't mean in a religious way. I mean people getting to hang out with people they've heard and thought well of for a long time and become friends with, even though, and now you get to set eyes on each other. And find out how fantastic people really, really are. So that'll stay open at least through the end of August. You can't let it go much further than into September because then everything will be booked up. But I've got to be able to do the accommodations bookings, and we will have a blast. And we'll have some live entertainment. We'll have remember, a live Friday on the Front Porch broadcast with members of the community actually sitting there talking to each other with microphones. You know, I'll bring over the road rig and we'll do it on a real live, honest to goodness, no kidding, front porch. Or, you know, maybe a back porch, depending on how things go. But it is the first full weekend of June, beginning June 2nd, 2022. And we're all going to have our vaccines, and it's going to be wonderful. And you'll get to experience the beautiful inclusivity that is Fayetteville in the heart of America's newest national park. There's only three, but I've got, there are at least three more who are committed and just haven't done the GoFundMe thing yet. And I'm hoping a lot more because I can't wait to meet some of my favorite members of the Horn Family Community Congregation. And if we can get enough people, I'll be able to invite special guests. Like I said, there's a standing invite for the Malloys, standing invite for John Bridavo and his lovely, lovely wife. Thought about reaching out to Rick Smith. I don't know if he'd be able to get down here or not, but it would be just wonderful. It would. But all kidding aside, here we are, and I'm filibustering the afternoon away just trying to take care of basic information, because that's kind of the way it is sometimes after a busy weekend of morons and happenings and you know, live and in person Karen experiences at the DMV. I do have a note from Paul from Parts Unknown. Subject line, no update. Still no update on mask and social distancing at work. It seems they're waiting for the state to update policies this week first. So, masks are still optional in the lab if you're vaccinated. The number of people wearing masks voluntarily on site has gone up dramatically. I will write in this week when I know more. Stay safe and healthy out there, Horn Family Community Congregation. And I'm taking everything that Paul from Parts Unknown has said to us so far to heart. And so I'm back to masking pretty much anywhere I go that I'm not here. And hoping my Pfizer holds up, although I guess immunity does diminish. I've been thinking about maybe trying to figure out a way to go and surreptitiously get a little boost. You know, I'm a little bump there. No, because I hope my personal magnetism isn't diminishing, but it's entirely possible that it is. I haven't had the refrigerator suck my neck into the refrigerator door all weekend long, and that's worrisome. It's worrisome indeed. Stephen, New York says, you still have a lot of LGBTQ stuff to learn. Part of a community is not the right term. There was a way that LGBTQ folks used to refer to each other. Often the question was this: are you family? Or is he family? Or is she family? When in more discreet times one wanted to know if a hottie was pursuable. Oh, dear. The lesson? Maggie's is not a community. It's family. Since that's graduate level LGBTQ, I'm thinking you haven't gotten the syllabus for that class yet. Well, no, I haven't. But it isn't. It's not that it's family. It's that it really, really is everybody. And the whole town takes deadly in earnest the idea that all are welcome. There are little rainbow rainbow decals with the outline of the state of West Virginia. This is all are welcome, and it's beautiful. And on my friend's post about it all, which he ended with "Sorry, not sorry," all caps. There were people from all kinds of businesses around Fayetteville going, Damn, why didn't you give us this heads up earlier? Because we could have told them to fuck off, too. Now, let's see, what was one comment was, well, they just need to learn to kick rocks. Oh, thank you. Thank you to Charlene and Rogues Island. Thank you so much. Charlene has us on down the road now on Bruce's Memorial Challenge. That means with our anonymous friend having met Rico's Challenge, now we are $275 away from being done with Bruce's Memorial Challenge. Thank you. Thank you, Charlene, a founding member of the Sorority of Leans and Queen Tracy's Reverse Oreo Society. Had a question just now, and it makes sense to answer it here. Darcy wanted to know, is Dr. Bill still on the air? I hope he's doing well. Dr. Bill is doing great. What he has done, though, is he and his beloved have moved out of Beckley and out into the countryside, where, because this is west by Cole Manchinia, Stan, the internet is a sketchy thing. So we're talking, and he will be back to the air, but he's got to get some technology issues sorted out first. And in fact, he's eager to get back to the air. So thanks for that question. I'm glad you asked, Darcy, so that I could update the community. And I look forward to and again, I've already told Dr. Bill that when the horn in happens, he's got a standing invite, as does Boss Man Wayne. Are you sure? Asks Darlene. What recently happened in P-Town, Provincetown, is cause and pause for concern. Most of those sickened were vaccinated. Are you sure about the horn in? We may need to be masking. I understand that. I don't think we're going to be there 10 months from now. I mean, look, this was actually one of the stories in the list. Son of a gun, lo and behold, I guess getting a talking to by Governor Meemaw done had an effect down in Talibama. Now, that state has wonderful people in it. I know many of them. But they were having a hard time getting folks vaccinated. But Governor Meemaw came out and said, well, I mean, she didn't come out. But Governor Meemaw done said, listen, I guess it's about time we start blaming the unvaccinated people for the fact that Talibama is climbing and catching fire with the Delta variant. And so vaccination rates have actually begun to rise in Talibama. I think, Darlene talking about Provincetown, I saw that story as well. And I'm guessing that, and it really is guessing, that part of the reason behind that was that maybe some vaccines are beginning. If the lifespan of the vaccine is about 6 months, then the people who were vaccinated very, very early in the process with Pfizer or Moderna may have run out of immunity. But still, the numbers, even on vaccinated people, are pretty pretty amazing, because the mortality rate, you know, the scariest number for Delta variant cases among the vaccinated is 0.001%. So that's 0.001 of 0.01, if I understand my decimalization here. And that is a tiny number. And if people will go on and get serious about getting vaccinated, the number will continue to fall. And maybe we get boosters. The UK is going to start giving boosters within the month. And we have not, you know, there's some talk about it, but nothing formal. And We lag behind, and it could be that we'll be doing boosters by, you know, a month or so from now. We almost have to, don't we? Because kids are going back into school. We don't have the vaccine opened for the under 12 set yet. And there is a horrifying amount of data out there that shows that kids are really taking it on the chin with the Delta variant. And we've got to get kind of militant about vaccines and getting everybody vaccinated who can possibly be vaccinated, because, you know, again, Lambda is already out there, and let's see, Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, Eta, Theta, Iota, Lambda. So that's 8 variants into the Greek alphabet, if I'm remembering it correctly. If I'm not, somebody check me on my Greek alphabet. It's a long time since I was hazed over my ability to remember the Greek alphabet. I'm sure, Darlene. Because Darlene continues, you're probably right about the country not going back into lockdown, but who the hell really knows? If people spend $1,000, which is not chump change, and no, it isn't. And, you know, like I said, half or more of that is going to go to the event itself. That's just how badly I want us to have this thing. And they decide it's unsafe to go. Is there a refund or a partial refund? I think that's the elephant in the room. Let us know your thoughts on this. Happy to. At this point in time, I'm going to wait until, you know, whatever the closing date is in September. And if it's a bust, it's a bust. But if we've got enough people to go and it's a go, then, yeah, maybe some sort of partial refund situation. Depending on, and there'll be a cutoff date for absolutely no refunds, somewhere down the road. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, if all the plans have been made, and, I mean, it's got to be, you know, there's got to be some cutoff line. But, yeah, I don't have a problem with that as such. So, thank you, Darlene, that's a good point. That's a good, and I'm glad you brought it up. I hope I answered it sufficiently. Dave number 11 says, Mrs. Dave number 11 was one of the first to be vaccinated. We were thinking like you, and she went to the pharmacy and got a Moderna. Leveled her for about 18 hours, which means she was still full of antibodies from the first vaccine, and those antibodies went to war on the vaccine booster. Oh, well, that's encouraging. But I'm glad you brought that up, Dave. Thank you. Not to be nosy, but was Mrs. Dave number 11, was she Moderna the first time through, too, or was she Pfizer and Moderna attacked Pfizer? That's nosiness on my part, but it's also, and I'm sure this stuff is being studied thoroughly, but it makes you wonder what's going on with the, well, this is, of course, in the UK, the government of Bojo the Clown. It didn't seem to be, well, the story I read didn't seem to be theoretical. It was presented in terms of they're going to do boosters in the UK, not there may be boosters in the UK. So that's why I asked if Mrs. Dave number 11 got Moderna the first time, or maybe got Pfizer the first time. Or J&J. I keep forgetting that's out there, but I think a lot of people want to forget that that's out there. Yeah. I did miss Randy Radar says, you forgot Kappa. I was doing that silently in my head, but I counted as 11 out of 24 there. Thank you for the handy chart, Lee in New York. Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, Eta, Zeta. No, Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, Epsilon, Zeta, Eta, Theta, Iota, Kappa. Yeah, Lambda, Mu, Nu. Yeah. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We're 10 variants in. 11 variants in. Yeah, 11 variants in. I can't even count when the freaking thing's right in front of me. I mean, the not being able to cipher is strong with this one, believe me. Okay, that's interesting. Dave, number 11 says Pfizer first. And how is Mrs. Dave, number 11, now? Dave, after those 18 hours, is everything copacetic? Does she get stuck to the refrigerator even more often? Have you checked her 5G status when she's anywhere near a 5G tower? Because you live in something resembling civilization, so you might have actually 5G towers around there. I was told the other day that the wireless service here sucks as bad as it does right now. I think it's because of all the people on the system, but silly me. I was told they're transitioning everything to 5G, and that was what was slowing things down. Oh, cool. Well, okay, that's the best news of all. She's 100% okay, says Dave, number 11. Great. Thank you for that. And according to the World Health Organization, Steve tells us, Lambda is the latest variant to develop. But that can change rapidly. And, oh, God, the only way to stop it is to vaccinate the whole planet. And that's a daunting task for a capitalist, a world that is dominated by capitalism, because there are people out there worrying, you know, but what about my profits? You can't worry about profits when you're trying to vaccinate the developing world, when you can't shake them down with the usual capitalist mantra of, you know, your money or your life. Because, again, one of the things that just pisses me off absolutely the most is the fact that you've got these idiots, morons, in this country. No, I'm going to wait a little while and see how it works out with everybody else. And as noted, they're now part of the control group in the experiment. But there are people in other countries who would gladly give most anything they've got for an injection. And the stories aren't hard to find. Just you can very basic searches will turn it up, and you'll find people in any number of countries saying, "Oh, I very badly need the injection because I have to be able to work, and my country is on fire with this, and if I don't work, my family starves." Yeah. I know. I realize that that's also the story here in Merca, because, you know, capitalist workers' paradise wonderland that it is. And that reminds me of something else. A story that I saw earlier today. And we've had a lot of stories, and we've talked about how odious and obnoxious they are about, well, people's getting all that free money from the government. No wonder they don't want to go back to work for shit wages. Well, this right here, this story out of Michigan and reported via the International Business Times is the lodestone, the pole star, the epitome of why people don't want to go back to work. It comes from a Wendy's in Michigan, and it has to do with a manager at a Wendy's. We'll call him Mike, or, well, I'm sorry, wrong accent. Mike. And an employee there began videoing him when he started being nasty to her. he was berating this worker at Wendy's over the cleaning a particular piece of equipment and used a misogynistic term to insult her, and at one point in time suspended her for videoing Mike as he did all this. Well, here's the audio.
Crew to clean. It means the fucking clean, bitch.
Whoa.
Whoa.
We sure do not.
You're fucking lazy.
Oh, first it was fucking bitch, and now we're up to fucking lazy. And we wonder why there are signs like, we're sorry this restaurant is short-staffed. Everybody who works here quit. Or, yeah, where's that clip when I need it? You know, the clip of Lindsey Graham saying that, while we can't continue to help people with this here COVID emergency funding, because then people won't want to go back to their good jobs there at places like Wendy's. Mm-hmm.
Your job is to help stock, not delegate.
I don't know. At this point, we're going to stop talking to Michael. We just going to record, because I don't know what else he want me to do.
What have you done since we closed? Absolutely fucking nothing.
Absolutely cleaned out the first Frosty machine, and I wasn't done.
Actually, Jarrell,
I wasn't. Jarrell did not. Jarrell, did you clean up that Frosty machine?
You drained it.
No.
For him.
No. That wasn't the case. That's why you should mind your own business.
Oh, she's fierce.
It's still not clean.
It's not clean because I wasn't finished, like I just said. Sorry, and Steph.
Oh my God, is that a new cultural thing? Sorry, and Steph. Oh dear. I think, well.
Fucking communist little fucking bitch.
Communist! That's the fourth fucking, that's the second bitch, but it is the first communist. Communist little fucking bitch. Oh. Mike, walk away, buddy. Walk away.
I pray for you.
Oh, no. No, it ends with an I pray for you. Yeah. Apparently it went to the home office. You know, these things are either corporate owned or franchise owned. Sophia Cargill is the young woman who had the courage to stand up and not take this kind of abuse. You know, when she tells him that's the end of the road, and no, it's not. I'll call you a bitch if I want to. You have no permission to record me. we're in a public restaurant. That was new. Pretty much, okay, is there any doubt here as to how Michael votes? Because I feel really confident. And it went up on TikTok, and then It doesn't show up in the audio, but apparently the aftermath of this video was for Michael to get what the British would call the sack. He was sacked. Or down here, fard. Let go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, four fuckings, two bitches, and one communist. But this is, and anybody who's ever worked fast food, or sort of going back from my DMV experience earlier today, I was standing, there was a bit of a wait, and there were two people working alternately the first desk, where they do intake, and they take the driver's license photos, and I am so, the lady who took mine was a real help, and she helped me get posed and composed, and said, I am so happy for you, honey. Congratulations. I know this is a big day. I said, it is. So sweet. So there were two women alternating at the intake desk, and whichever one wasn't working the intake desk was basically flying in the background. And then there were two people working the, I guess you'd say, tags and licenses desk. And then there were two people who were working the desks for driver's license exams and, you know, the eye exam and stuff like that, and CDLs, whatever. And as I was sitting there waiting, and I confess, waiting for the other shoe to drop, I thought, you know, I've seen a lot more people working in here, and they got a lot of windows open. Wonder why there aren't more people in here. And then I sat down for, you know, my little appointment, and I found out. You know, between dealing with a cranky, shitty public or dealing with asshole so-called managers, power-mad on and power, drunk on their middle management Wendy's power, and, you know, dude is, I mean, come on. If he didn't have the Wendy's ball cap and the Wendy's T-shirt on, I would not feel comfortable being like alone in a room with this guy. Hell, maybe he was mad because he got bounced out of Maggie's on Saturday night. I don't. It's kind of the same thing. Just to give you one of the members of that group. Signed up, karaoke, signed up to sing Jack and Diane, you know, the classic John Mellencamp song, and was so wasted, and apparently so trying to, I don't know. That song has that line about, you know, sucking on chili dogs outside the Tasty Freeze, etc. And he was... He managed to get through the first verse, and then the rest of it, throughout the karaoke, it was just all he would do was saying, sucking on chili dogs, sucking on chili dogs, sucking on chili dogs. It was really obnoxious. Merca. Somebody fire up the Lee Greenwood, I guess. But if you are in a place where everything has a help wanted sign on it, every business has a help wanted sign on it, you got to wonder how they're paying. Because people will put up with a lot of shit for a decent wage. But not this. And working people are figuring out, and frankly, video recording devices on cell phones are becoming a leveling device, really, when you get right down to it. A leveling device. And they make it more possible for people to have justice when injustice is done to them. Oh my God. I knew that. Jeremy in Vermont says, in defense of the Wendy's manager, if he was coming off of the high that a Frosty gives me, I understand. Just kidding, of course. I don't. But what a jackass. Glad to hear that he's looking for other employment. Hopefully the video follows him since the internet's forever. Yeah. And, you know, he's sober. What's the excuse? Oh, well, yeah, I'm just an asshole. I don't need to work with the public. That's going to be difficult in an economy that has turned to, you know, almost exclusively service. Hey, but it's all over the country, and it's brutal. John, I know what the answer to that question is. John in Central PA, because it's also, in addition to Moran Monday, it's also Tech Monday. How come the tune-in stream isn't working? The head-on.live stream is practically unlistenable because it plays for about 2 minutes and then either stalls for a while or stops playing altogether, and I keep having to refresh the stream over and over again. Well, that's a new one. Tune-in picks up from White Rose, and White Rose is just flat-out not working right now. I don't know. It might be a bandwidth issue on your end, John. Because I'm not getting a lot of complaints about the head-on.live stream stopping and starting. I'm not seeing any no complaints in the chat room, and they let me know. Believe you me. Tom in sunny San Rafael said, thanks for the update about Dr. Bill. I've been wondering and worrying about him. Today in the Bay Area, most counties reinstituted mask mandates for indoors, even in Marin County, where over 86% of the population has received both doses and breakthrough infections are climbing. Oh, God. 86%, you know, devoutly to be wished. Okay, well, that's okay. So Jeremy says, tune in is fine on this end. Perhaps reset your device or app, John. Stream perfect here, says David in South Carolina, Stan. Back to sucking on chili dogs. Steve in New York wants to know, and this is a quality inquiry, was he Alpha Epsilon Pi, Pi Kappa Alpha, or Zeta Beta Tau? Well, you left out Sigma Chi, and Tau Kappa Omicron, Tau Kappa Epsilon, and even my beloved Phi Gamma Delta. Because I didn't think of it that way. I guess I'm really getting old, but I just saw them as assholes. But none of them were wearing fraternity gear. But it wouldn't surprise me at all. Oh no, not at all. Thanks for that. That's, like I said, a quality inquiry. Phi Delta Kappa? Yeah, Anatole. Beta Theta Pi? The delts were always kind of nice, but I guess we'll include Delta Tau Delta in that as well. And by the way, as I was coming back today, Agnes was puppy sitting, grand puppy sitting, and as I was headed over, I actually was on the phone with her, and I said, "Oh my God, look at this!" No, it was when we were on the way back. She was in the car with me. I've mentioned the fact that I try to really get an experience out of it every time I cross the New River Gorge Bridge, because I'm, you know, trying to be mindfulness, and I realize everybody doesn't get to see this. There are other places in this country that must be like that. I know they're like that because I've experienced some of them. But it looked like the furthest mountains on the view from the bridge were shrouded in fog. Now, the fact that it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon kind of militated against that being fog. because it wasn't. It was smoke. And here, where the air quality index is usually, because I think they don't take into account things like mountaintop removal blasting, but the air quality index here is usually pretty damn good. Today, no. Last couple of days, no. The air quality index here has been decidedly not good. Right now, as we speak, air quality 61, moderate. It was like 130 this morning, and you know, can be problematic for people with respiratory issues. So, when I looked off to the west, northbound on the bridge, that fog was smoke. That smoke is all the way here. And it's Canadian smoke, and it's American smoke, and it's not good smoke, and it'll soon be 11 months ago that I quit smoking. Oh my God, yeah, now we're going to get into which asshole fraternity was it. Ron and Raleigh says, how about were the Sigma Nu's a bunch of jock assholes at Harvard on the Mon? They weren't. They were the snooze. It was the snooze house. They were kind of quiet. But I know they have been a bunch of jock assholes elsewhere. Every fraternity has a chapter, or several. Thank you. Randy Radar says, I've got you on head-on.live on my iPhone X, and no problem. You could try FYINation.com, John, in Central PA. Flavio said that he went over to head-on.live, and that's when his issues cleared up. I have no idea. But thank you. Thank you, Randy Radar. Chili Dog Guy, Stephen, New York, says, those are the only fraternities I knew except Sigma Chi. We used to call ZBT Zeta Beta Tomato. I remember something similar to it for another organization that began with Zeta. It was rude. Randy Radar says, air quality currently in Beckley is 60, which is moderate. Yeah, it was up north of 120 this morning. And by the way, there are, as Dave number 11 pointed out, there are two new fires. In Northwest California up to the Oregon border, there was forest fire lightning yesterday. No worries about the typo. And God, the smoke is thick. I'm looking at a photo now, that's good God. And so, you know, we've got the Northern California, the Northwest on fire. Canada's on fire. My dear friend Nikki over at Trans Talk Raw this past Saturday was commenting on that. She lives in, of course, far Calgary. As I have told her, the West, Alberta is the West. They say, we're the Texas of Canada. No. Anybody who does to your land, to their landscape, what the oil companies have done to the Albertan landscape is not Texas. No. The tar sands officially designate Alberta as the West Virginia of Canada. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're on fire. And then I was looking, and it turns out Turkey is on fire. Parts of the whole freaking planet, especially the Northern Hemisphere, but not entirely limited, are on fire because climate change is real. And remember, every wildfire contributes further to that climate change. I'm still mind blown at the fact that the Amazon rainforest is now a net producer of carbon as opposed to a net carbon sink. Oh, thank you, capitalism. Thank you. Thank you so much. DMV Karen story twist. This is, you guys are really interactive this evening. Maybe it's the material or maybe, but Jack in Shreveport says, I wanted to let you know, as well as tonight's Horn listeners, that it looks like it's going to be necessary for me to start a crowdfunding exercise for a sub-project of a larger issue that may include declining memory issues and attention deficit problems. I'm going to set up a website along these lines. Jack has a new Kickstarter project called Help Jack Overcome His Mental Problems by Funding the Collection of Data and Facts and the Reduction of That Data into a Report Understandable by an 8th Grade Level Reader of an event named Robin's DMV Appointment, Happy Occasion and Multiple DMV Appointments Interrupted by Rude Karen. To give you an example of where I'm at, your simple story, understood by all, has me wondering how I lost track of the woman DMV employee because it seemed like Karen slipped in asking for the guy as an insult to the DMV woman. You're absolutely right. Yet it seemed like you told the story as if Karen mentioned calling the guy when a guy was already there in front of her. Am I right? The whole thing revolved around the requirement to surrender a previous license when receiving or applying for a new license? Yes. Why can't the DMV people just tell Karen to shut the fuck up and go find her previous current license? Problem solved. Simple. Wouldn't it be just? But see, the way they've got it set up, Jack, the woman that she spoke to was at the intake desk. And that's where you go and tell them what you want, and then they generate the ticket for you, and you go elsewhere to another desk or another window as, you know, based upon what your need is. And so she probably was being rude from jump. She showed up at her window just shortly after my number was called. And apparently she was nasty to the woman at the intake desk, saying, I want you to give me the guy that's got some, you know, that can help me with this. So that would have handled it, but they are eternally polite, at least at this DMV location. And at one point in time, I did neglect to mention that the guy at the window next to mine did tell her, you all are just rude. And he said something like, well, ma'am, there are a lot of DMV offices in this state, and you are welcome to go to any one of them you wish. And that was as nasty as he got. Oh, and that just lit Karen right up. And they explained it to her, but she wasn't having it. No, I want it done, and I want it done right now. Right? Yeah. So, no, I don't. I think you can belay the perceived need for that intervention. You're in good stead, Jack. Hang on there. Back to the fraternities. Ron and Raleigh says, I wouldn't guess there were a lot of AEPI members. They were of the Jewish persuasion. Yes. And then there was the evangelical Christian fraternity. Wasn't that called Acacia? Weren't they a thing once? Steve said, at George Washington, where I went, the university caught Sigma Nu shooting 3.5-inch blow darts at a group of African-American kids touring the campus.
Jesus!
It's not, and not just here, of course. Flavio tells us the Wisconsin DNR put out an AQ advisory till 12 noon on Sunday for all Wisconsin counties. I went out to dinner with my friend Tom Saturday, and southwest Wisconsin was shrouded in smoke. You could smell the smoke. The sunset was amazing, but not much else. Then the cloudburst came and cleared things up a bit, but until the downpour, the air quality was hideous. Sunday really cleared up, but yeah, wow. Ugh. Yeah, I hate that. And as someone who has quit smoking, smoking when you don't mean to really, really bites. The Planet on Fire, Stephen New York says, I watched Star Trek The Search for Spock this weekend. The planet right now looks as unstable as the Genesis Project in that movie. Maybe. Well, you know, that's true. Randy Radar says, you may qualify to rush Delta, Delta, Delta now. I think I'm a little old. But it's actually surprising how open many of the sororities have become relative to issues of gender identity. Oh, and despite the horrible, horrible fears of every miserable, shit-eaten turf and right-wing turd out there, the woman who qualified and was allowed to compete in women's weightlifting, she was from New Zealand. Yeah, she didn't do well at all. Got her ass kicked in weightlifting. I'm really, really proud of her and proud of New Zealand for having her on their team. But all of that stuff that the turfs babble about how, they got all these inherent physiological advantages because they used to be boy men. Yeah, we've been telling you all along that ain't true. And it turns out that it wasn't. Mm-mm, no, but the Canadian team, had a moment. I think I forget which track and field event it was, but they've got the first openly trans, non-binary, which means this person is they/them, medalist in Olympic history, and that's flipping awesome. yeah, I know. Okay, this is kind of a riddle. Dave number 11 says, let me tell you about my fraternity. I was smoking with the boys upstairs when I heard about the whole affair. I said, oh no, William and Mary won't do. Mm-hmm. Yep. So you were, as the saying goes, of that ilk. Anybody want to jump in on getting that? What fraternity was Dave number 11 in? And the clue's right there in the lyric. Let's see who jumps in and gets that first. See, I deliberately didn't sing it because we've got a $275 challenge yet to meet. And if I had sung, we never would have gotten there. Mm-hmm. So, cowbell to the first person who can name the fraternity. Yeah. I was smoking with the boys upstairs when I heard about the whole affair. I said, oh no, William and Mary won't do. Good one, Dave. Good one indeed. Adding on to the 275 we've got, we'll actually take it to 294. Challenge from Stephen New York. Hey, babe. Joey Votto was the player of the month with, among other things, his streak of 7 games with a home run. So, given he is number 19, I'm offering a $19 challenge. Cool. A $19 challenge in honor of Joey Votto. And he did. He had a hell of a month of July. Thank you, Steve. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No. That's not it. That's not it, Randy Radar. The first... Oh, that's too much. No, that's too much of a clue. That's too much of a clue. I was at DMV 2 weeks ago. Can confirm, says Megan. You check in for an appointment, get a number ticket, and sit down for your number to be called. Then you go to the assigned desk for that clerk to help you. Bouncing from clerk to clerk is rude as fuck, as you're essentially cutting in front of people. Worse, this was an Uber Karen, as I've never been to the DMV without my license, because they ask for ID to confirm your identity! And showing up for it without a replacement is unheard of. This woman was just acting like an entitled bee. Well, I think... I ran the story past Agnes, and she was like... And we ran through the same analysis. How were her teeth? Teeth were fine. She said, oh, opioids. Mm-hmm. Precisely. So, damn, here we are at the halfway point of the program. And this is conversation radio, by the way. I don't have to do all the talking. And you're welcome to jump in. The stress line, of course, is 844-843-4676. 844 the horn. And if you'd like to get in on the Skype line, of course, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn, still working on that. Back to the Jack and Shreveport's questions about this evening's DMV story. DMV twist, important correction. My first letter didn't get all the reaction I thought it would. Maybe the following will help. See, by the end of your story, I thought the rude Karen worked at the DMV and was totally confused about why I couldn't figure out when at least one of the other people and DMV employees changed genders. Oh, dear. It may be worse than I thought. No, I was the person changing genders. Yeah. Yeah, we know that we... sorry about that, Jack. I have a feeling I'm only making matters worse by trying to elaborate. We know the name of the song. What is the name, Lee, in New York? What is the name of the fraternity? Dave Number 11's fraternity is the same as the fraternity referenced in that song lyric. That is where that's where the challenge comes in. Dave's really good at this. I'm still reeling over. See, reeling in the years. I'm still reeling over that first one a few months back, where we the live version that had a song tucked away in it. And I heard him playing the same game on Performance Today a month or so, a few weeks ago, where some composer had tucked away another tune inside the piece that he wrote. And I was proud of myself. I got it. I can't remember what it was now. I didn't put it on the right brain cell. But I love that stuff, and it'll drive me crazy if I let it. Oh, my God. I've got a smoke photo from Darcy. Check out all of the smoke in the air up on Lake Superior at Pictured Rocks National Forest. God. Yeah, when you get a lot of smoke in the air like that, it makes the sun look like it's a lot further away. Maybe it looks a little bit like maybe it looks on Mars. And maybe we're on the way to turning this planet into Mars. Or probably Venus. Additional for the Met Challenge. Steve adds, given that the so-called pundits projected the Reds to finish in fourth place and they will win the division or at least give the Brewers a run for their money, I'll add $4 if we meet it. See how I keep using the active voice there? Yes. Yes, Steve in New York's jihad against the passive voice, and it's a good jihad, continues, because that's weak and sloppy writing, and I completely agree. How about that? Randy Radar tells us in PA you can show up at PennDOT for a replacement license when you've lost your original. Well, yeah, but she didn't. It wasn't a lost license situation. There was really no call for her abysmal behavior. And it's Moran Monday, so I mean, just in the last couple of minutes, we've had the arrival of your daily petulance via the former guy. Ugh.
If I were president right now, with COVID raging back, people being shot and killed in record numbers all over our cities, but not getting shots and still dying in record numbers.
No, I added that part.
And the border totally open with criminals and heavily infected COVID people pouring through our southern border and into our communities, the fake news media would be having an absolute field day. When I left office, law enforcement was supported like never before. The border was strong, safe, and secure, the best ever, and I got a highly effective vaccine developed in less than 9 months when it was supposed to take 5 years or more. Hopefully people will never forget.
Funny how he leaves out the part about all those Blue Lives Matter people attacking all of those blue lives on January 6th. He was still president then. Does he know that? Maybe not. Oh, we're not going to forget your presidency, former guy. No, we're not going to forget all the bigotry and the hate and the xenophobia. And the paranoia and the sleaze and the corruption and the ignorance and the dementia. Oh no, we're not going to forget. Do you have any sympathy, do you think? Any sympathy at all for whoever it is that has to sit there and tap that into a press release? Because these are all under the banner of
Save America, President Donald J. Trump.
See, not even former. He's holding himself out as still the president of the United States. And somewhere along the line, that needs to be illegal. The trivia search is definitely on. Maybe, maybe it'll help. Let's play this. We'll play a little bit of the song. Because this is fun. There it is.
Thank you.
every lyric is a gem, but, you know, Jesus. Huh. A few guesses coming in. Note coming from Kevin in Western Mass. Nice summer evening here in Western Mass. Me and Tracy say hi, but we're fully aware of the bad conditions elsewhere in this country. It can happen here, too. And I love My Old School. It's a great song. David, with a photo. Sunrise on I-81. Damn. That looks like Impressionist art. It's exquisite. Trump and vaccine. Stephen, New York says, odd, I can't find any photos or articles of him spending nights and weekends in the lab working on the vaccine. By the way, I have zero sympathy for the asshole turd who sits there and records his blather for his press releases. Yeah, well, you know, it's that line from Caddyshack. Well, the world needs ditch diggers, too. Clarence, out on the road or home in South Carolina, Stan, I don't know which. Did you see the video of Turkish citizens jumping into boats to escape the wildfires? Waterborne safety was the only place left in their locale. Absolutely scary. It was terrifying. It was like something out of the ancient world. I did see that video, and it reminded me of people trying to get out to sea at the eruption of Vesuvius in... what, 79 A.D.? Yeah. Oh, let's see here. Man, I can't believe that here in just a little, well, almost exactly a month, it'll be 4 years since Walter Becker passed away. Yeah. Esophageal cancer. So. And by the way, the former guy, Jeremy in Vermont, says, how about Rush? How's he doing? Still dead! Dan not Bon Jovi doesn't seem to be getting the usual attention that Rush can. Yeah. No, he's still dead, still getting the reverse pineapple in hell. Nope, not that either, Billable Rick. And I'm not, wait, Steve, I don't think so. The William and Mary reference, this is the very first Greek letter society was founded at William and Mary. Mm-hmm. And by the way, maybe Karen got her problem solved. This Karen will not be able to fly on an airplane, vote, or buy groceries without a photo ID, says Lee in New York. Buy groceries. It's the buy groceries part. Things that we will not forget about the 4 years of misery under Nitwit.
You gotta show an ID to buy groceries. Why shouldn't you have to show an ID to vote?
How long has it been since you bought? Well, that was a great moment right up there with George H.W. Bush not understanding barcode scanners back in the late 80s, early 90s. Okay, moving on, because there really is a lot of stuff out there this evening for this Moran Monday. How about Kevin McCarthy? You know, I'm so old I can remember other speakers of the House. And that would be, John Boner. Remember John Boner? Well, that seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? But I think, you remember the sweaty wrestler? That was what Bart Kopp called him. Eventually, he became not speaker because of a payoff scheme for boys that he liked to have sex with. Yeah. Denny, the sweaty wrestler Hastert. And then, of course, there's Newt Gingrich, who he set the bar for being an odious dickhead when he became speaker in January 1993, and led the war on Bill Clinton over Bill Clinton's consensual sexual affair, when at the same time that he, Newt Gingrich, was banging an intern like a cheap gong. And then the intern, well, they got married up because, you know, Newt dropped divorce papers on his wife when she was in a hospital bed fighting cancer, and got married up to Callista. And then, remember, in the last four nightmare years of Nitwit Nero's occupancy of the White House, Callista became, no kidding, the U.S. ambassador to the Holy See at the Vatican. Mm-hmm. And they hadn't done it in a few hundred years, but they did institute... a rule for Callista that before she could meet with any Vatican officials, you know, usually a good Catholic walks up to the font and gets a little holy water and, you know, my daddy plays dominoes better than your daddy plays dominoes. No, the rule went around. No, before Callista could be admitted to a meeting with His Holiness, Callista had to gargle. Yeah. And by the way, that vaccine that the former guy developed, David in South Carolina, Stan, reminds us, yeah, the vaccine took 17 years. Started research back in 2003 in response to SARS. SARS-CoV-1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. It was all me. Long nights in the laboratory. Just me and Dexter.
Oh, dear Robin, Newt became speaker. Yeah, I'm sorry, I did get that wrong. From the corrections department, Stephen, New York, Newt became speaker in January 1995. The earthquake was in 1994, back when I was a right-winger. Right. Bill Clinton becomes president on January 20th, 1993, and within 2 terms, within 2 years, yeah, the earthquake election, November of 1994. I remember waking up the next day and going, what the fuck, really? Because that was the same election... I was on the road, and they were announcing that a former wrestler, not like Denny Hastert, the sweaty wrestler, no, a former professional wrestler would become the governor of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And yes, Jeremy reminds us, don't forget, Newt's political career was ended by Hustler magazine owner Larry Flint. What a good day it was. It was a wonderful day, and, well... Larry's gone, but hopefully somebody's out there to help with Kevin McCarthy, because you know what's really funny? Joking about beating a woman. Because that's what Kevin McCarthy did over the weekend. Michael Scherer had the story in the Washington Post over the weekend. At a gathering of maggots, someone gave him an oversized gavel. And on it was engraved the words, Fire Pelosi. Mm-hmm. And so, accepting the oversized gavel, he talked about how Well, Michael Scherer tweeted it and said, Tennessee reps gave Kevin McCarthy an oversized gavel after a speech. McCarthy invites the 1,400 at Nashville dinner to D.C. when he becomes speaker. He says he wants everyone to see Pelosi hand him the gavel, and then he said the following, it will be hard not to hit her with it, but I will bang it down. Yeah. Maybe we could get a protective order? Is that possible? A protective order for Nancy Pelosi? Hail Kevin McCarthy into court for the hearing? Because he's just threatened violence against the current sitting Speaker of the House. Could maybe we get a visit from, the Secret Service? Oh, well, don't worry about him being driven from office or anything, because those days are over. And even if they weren't over, it would be a case of I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. You know, it's okay if you're a Republican. Or I-O-K-I-Y-A-M. It's okay if you're a maggot. Because we live in the era where conservatives can say that they sexually assault women on a whim, and it doesn't make a difference. And they can just say, oh, well, it was locker room talk. I wonder if anybody's asked Kevin McCarthy if that was just locker room talk. Or does he fantasize about violent beating women? Is that his kink? Is that his thing? Yeah, one of these days somebody's going to spit in his face. And what a waste of spit that will be. Okay, here's another hint. William and Mary is a reference to Bard College, where Walter Becker and Donald Fagen met. And Bard College was known as the William and Mary of the North. Bard College has no fraternities. Mm-hmm. And that's why the name of Dave Number 11's fraternity is not in the lyrics to My Old School. Ooh, a twist. How about a left hook, Dave Number 11 said. And the actual name of the fraternity is contained in another song. Mm-hmm. A song with which I am familiar, because there's a reference in that to a school that I once attended. Yep. And that is, you should be able to admit, I've talked about it enough. Let's just say... I want a name when I lose. I know where we're going, Dave. At least I think I know the answer. I may be wrong. But... there's two possibilities here. One of them people may already be right about, but I'm thinking another one. because you're leading us down a bit of a path. Maybe I'm wrong. If it's directly related, then I know the answer because I don't want to give anything away. This is too much fun. Dave number 11 was not a GDI, Randy. By the way, back to Kevin McCarthy. Steve in New York says, it's even worse. Given he's 50-something, that'd be like him beating his grandma. Come to think of it, doesn't surprise me that he'd beat his grandma. If he ever so much as threatened my grandma, I'd stomp him into horse manure. Mm-hmm. Dandy, huh, Dave? Or, well, there was a certain fraternity that was founded at the university that is referenced in Deacon Blues. I've just given it away. Mm-hmm. And, wait, further trivia, and I don't know, Dave probably knows, if this is the case, Dave knows the answer here. And connections with connections, circles within circles. If it's that fraternity on that campus, that fraternity was founded by former pledges to my fraternity, which was also on that campus. Mm-hmm. Multiple awesome guitar solos, Jack in Shreveport says. Awesome song. I think it may have been the first Steely Dan song I paid attention to. Talking about my old school. Mm-hmm. And then the other song... You've got that, too. Jack says, the trivia question's about some other song, isn't it? The Lacey cigarette song, maybe? I wasn't sure if the trivia question was going anymore, but you mentioned it just as I'm writing this. I still don't understand what the question is, though. A school? A fraternity? Yeah, we're trying to find out what Dave number 11's fraternity was, because it's referenced in a Steely Dan song. The thing is, there's a direct reference in one Steely Dan song that is not either of these two songs. Then there's another fraternity that is referenced by reference in the song where one wants a name when one loses. Yeah. This is just getting so complex, isn't it? And that's what makes it so much fun. So, anyway, no, don't worry about Kevers McCarthy having to actually do anything decent like resign or anything. Because that's not going to happen. And, of course, it was at a fundraiser in Tennistan. You just knew it kind of had to be the Confederacy, didn't you? Mm-hmm. And then, in terms of the January 6th... No, Todd, it's not... it's not SIGEP either. No. Let me see here. There we go. Oh, and by the way, Brother Deacon Asa informed me for all the issues related to the stream that we talked about earlier. There are two iterations of the horn on TuneIn. One is the head-on.live stream, and the other is the White Rose stream. So the White Rose stream is probably not working because apparently it's not... it's not working. Never a dull moment. You know, fond memories for Todd in South Carolina, Stan, of a visit to Bard College. It was all about the party, the door halls. It was open-air bazaar for you-know-what. In fact, Stevie Ray Vaughan was playing at the Spring Bash when we went and picked up, you know, something. Right. Okay, nope, billable, not those either. There's a fraternity that was founded at the university that's referenced in Deacon Blues. Oh my God, that's exquisite. It's also smoke. Jude, in the Great Northwest. Mount Rainier is hidden off to the left in this photo. The swirls of lavender remind me of a Monet painting, inspiring. It's gorgeous, and it's smoke. Nope, Bernadette. Nice guess, though, but that's not it. And from Darlene in Connecticut, from the Hollywood Reporter, Kathy Griffin has revealed she has lung cancer and will undergo surgery. Darlene notes, this is disturbing, but it shows the importance of getting the vaccine. Duh. Kathy Griffin reveals she has lung cancer. The comic actress said she has never smoked, but nonetheless, half of one lung will be removed. Yeah, I saw that, Darlene, and I thought about all the people who did not smoke, who do not smoke, here in the sacrifice zone, and yet died of lung cancer. I know, because I know one of those people. She was a hero of mine, and a mentor, and dear to me, and her name was Judy Bonds. All she had to do was live down there where they were blowing up the mountains and poisoning thousands of people. And I remember when she got her diagnosis. She and my colleague Beau and I were traveling to the Music Saves Mountain. Music Saves Mountains concert down at the Ryman Auditorium, you know, the home of the Grand Ole Opry. And she had developed this miserable cough. And she said, you know, when I get back, God, she was tired. She gave everything she had to the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And she said, I don't know, this is the damnedest cold. And she got back, and they diagnosed her cold as too far to do anything about it, lung cancer. Yeah. Kathy Griffin, I suppose, is somewhat fortunate, if one may describe anything about lung cancer as fortunate. She told, In a long message she put on Twitter, she said, doctors are very optimistic as it is stage one and contained to my left lung. And so they'll take out half a lobe, or half a lung, that is. And they say she's not going to have chemotherapy or radiation treatments. Remember when Merca canceled Kathy Griffin because she made a joke about Nitwit Nero and held up a really badly fashioned severed head? Yeah. Right. Okay, I got it now, Dave. I got it. I know the answer. That's exactly the song I went to, and that's why I said, yeah, that was dandy, wasn't it? Kathy Griffin ended her Twitter announcement by saying that she's fully vaccinated against COVID-19, and she said the consequences for being unvaccinated would have been even more serious. Please stay up to date with your medical checkups. It'll save your life. Yeah. And my best hopes to her. It's a hell of a thing to even ponder. At least I think I've got it, Dave. Well, that's the that's the reference to the song. This is a long little breadcrumb trail Dave number 11's put out there for us. But yes, you've got the name right for that portion of the puzzle, Matt, in San Francisco. You're there. But the curious part is why no end of the month podcast for Apple for June and July, asks Randy Radar. I've tried to explain that, and I guess I've done a very bad job. Apple picks up the podcast from the Podbean feed. When there is no Podbean feed, there is no Apple podcast. And so all of this falls back to Podbean being the assholes that they are. So that's June and July, and maybe I can roll the bit rate back. Maybe this won't happen this month. We'll have to see. We'll probably know by the time that I head out for what is basically a medical trip. Nope, Jack, nope. Here's a further hint. Aretha Franklin. That's your next hint, because that sends you to the next song. Mm-hmm. Yep. The January 6th Commission apparently has a number of MAGA Republican members of Congress in a bit of a dither, because, well, they could have, remember, the Republican Party could have had a bipartisan commission with equal numbers on both sides, but Kevin McCarthy in the House and then, of course, Moscow Mitch McConnell in the Senate nixed that. A subpoena couldn't have issued from the bipartisan bicameral January 6th Commission without approval from at least some Republicans in order to have a majority vote for the subpoenas. But Kevers and Mitch didn't want that, so now we have a select committee in the House. And they're going to have subpoena power, and there won't be any Republicans to vote no unless they're Adam Kinzinger and or Dick in a Wig. You know, Daddy's little deferment, Liz Cheney. And so Adam Kinzinger, who is now a popular guy, Adam Kinzinger was interviewed on ABC's This Week and kind of laid out the cold hard facts of this. Yeah. No, wait a minute. My old school's still playing. Forgot to turn it off. Daggummit. Mm-hmm. And let's... And before we go to that clip, here's the next hint song. There we go. That ought to be enough. Come on. Everybody recognizes that. And now, back to Adam Kinzinger. Speaking to... This Week on ABC in an exclusive interview with that program. And he's basically saying what we've known, to wit.
I want to ask you, Benny Thompson, the chair of the committee, said that there will be many subpoenas issued as part of this investigation and issued soon. Who do you expect that we'll see subpoenaed to appear before the committee?
Well, I don't want to get into naming names at this point. I think what we need to know is what happened. So if you look at it, what is it going to take to find out what happened? It's going to take talking to a lot of people. It's going to take thorough investigations. We want to do this expeditiously. We want to get to the answer. We don't want to drag this out. But we want to know, I think this is kind of like the shot we have as a country to get answers to what led up to it, what really happened, and what happened in the aftermath. And so I would expect to see a significant number of subpoenas for a lot of people. But I think the bigger thing is just, what is the message that's going to come out of this is that the American people deserve the truth. They need the truth. Even if there are some folks on, you know, some TV channels that don't want to talk about it, the truth needs to be out there for even those folks' kids to know in the future. So it's going to be a thorough investigation, that's for sure.
Well, that seems pretty clear, doesn't it?
Yeah.
A number of subpoenas for a lot of people. You know, people named, I don't know, Kevin McCarthy. People named Jim Shorts Jordan. People named Mo Brooks. I don't know if they'll put the less brains on the subpoena, but they really should. Jesus, these people. So, who else? Jim Shorts Jordan, Mo Brooks, Les Brains, Kevin McCarthy. See, what did Kevin McCarthy say? And he'll have to say it under oath. These are your fucking people! Or how about on the Senate side, Tommy the Tuber? Or Mike Lee, the constitutional scholar? Or how about Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America? Going to be a lot of typing on that subpoena. Mm-hmm. Oh, I have a feeling this is good. Now, here's the next question, and frankly the one that I really care about. When they issue these subpoenas for this testimony... Okay, there are two questions. Now that Nitwit Nero's out of office, and at least in theory we have an attorney general who won't just say, nah, don't bother, what's a bunch of subpoenas? At least we hope. Merrick Garland's been a little bit nerve-wracking, but, you know, it's a subpoena. It's a subpoena from the Congress of the United States. One would hope. So if Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz or the constitutional scholar Mac Lee try to give the middle finger to Benny Thompson, hopefully they'll be able to put some starch behind the subpoenas. That's question one. Question two. Okay, there's three questions. I keep coming up with questions. Question two is, if they show up, will they take the fifth? And if they take the fifth, what does that say about their, you know, because the language of the language of asserting one's Fifth Amendment right is in essence the question of, could the testimony tend to incriminate the witness? And by incriminate, we mean you know, criminal exposure, criminal culpability. Okay. If that is indeed the case, then question three, will it be public? And for me, that's everything. Will it be public? Will it be public? Because I want to see these treasonous assholes testify. Madison Cawthorn. Josh Hawley, who held up his fist like he thought he was at the 1968 Mexico City Olympics and did everything short of just waving them on as though they were storming the fucking Bastille. Will this testimony be public? We were told early on that most of the testimony would be taken behind closed doors. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. The American people need to hear up front and out in public exactly what happens, because the American people do not read things. I remember a lot of years ago on this program, there was a story that came out, and we spent an evening talking about it, really, because it said so much about this country. This infinitesimal number of people who actually buy books and read them in this country. And what was even more horrifying was the percentage of people who, okay, they buy books and read them, but the books that they buy and read were things like the Left Behind series. Yeah. So if they can't turn on their TV sets and tune in to live testimony. I mean, to me, January 6th was every bit as important and every bit as potentially devastating as Watergate or Iran-Contra, and more so because it involved an actual assault, an actual attack on the seat of governance of the United States, which by extension was an attack on constitutional governance. Because remember, the reason they were attacking was because they wanted to stop the constitutional verification of the election results. And now, and this is a question we have asked previously on the program, just how many damn people were involved with this? Well, now we know. Because the Secret Service has produced a document that tells us how many people attacked the Capitol on January 6th. A Secret Service document says that there were 25,000 people who went through the magnetometers at the Trump rally on January 6th. Then, 57 pages into the Secret Service document, they say a majority of the crowd went on to the Capitol. Well, half of 25,000 is 12,500. Even I can cipher that. Yeah. And so to be a majority of, there would have to be at least 12,501. So, we know now, because of the Secret Service, that no less than 12,501 people attacked the Capitol of the United States on January 6th. That's a battle. Regardless of how the battle is organized or ordered, 12,501 people attacking one thing is indeed a battle. Maybe it's time we quit... we don't quit calling it the insurrection. We don't quit calling it an attack. But we do need to understand that when you get to 12,501 people attacking one thing, well, that is precisely, I think, what was contemplated. I'm sure they didn't discuss actual numbers, the framers of the Constitution, during the ratification convention, or the Constitutional Convention, or the debate over ratification. I'm sure they didn't discuss the actual numbers of the people who were going to wage war against the United States, but they were pretty clear about the fact that they didn't want anybody attacking the United States, and that making war against the United States by a citizen of the United States or citizens would in fact constitute treason. And so here we are. Yeah. The Secret Service report says, among other things, on January 6, 2021, the third call for a demonstration in support of President Trump took place in Washington, D.C. An event was scheduled for President Trump to speak to the demonstrators on the Ellipse south of the White House. Approximately 25,000 participants were screened by uniformed division officers. Additional participants positioned themselves between the Ellipse and the Washington Monument. President Trump arrived to speak to the participants, and during his remarks, demonstrations started taking place at the U.S. Capitol. The report then goes on to note, a majority of the crowd moved from the ellipse to the United States Capitol. Yeah, I'm sure. I just read it from the report, Flavio. Flavio said, I thought it was 12,000 people, not 25,000. Are you sure? Flavio, 25,000 people went through the magnetometers to Trump's rally, and a majority of 25,000 then went on to attack the Capitol. 25,000 divided by 2 is 12,500. That is 50% of 25,000. In order to be a majority of the 25,000, it means that there have to be at least 12,501. There we go. Well, you know, into each life some rain must fall, Jeremy. Jeremy says, I have a theory. Every time someone plays Steely Dan, an angel loses its wings and falls straight back to earth. Plop. We're not all fans. Okay. But nonetheless, we do, I think, have a winner, and that winner is Billable Rick. Mm-hmm. Dave, confirm for me, please, if you're still there. Yeah. And so, with the filibuster having lasted 2 hours and 21 minutes, and by the way, I have thanks to send out. Wait a minute. Oh, daggummit. Oh, there, yes. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you very kindly. That means we've got $265 to go on Bruce's Memorial Challenge to start the month of August. $265. And that would, well, that'll be kind of miraculous, you know. What, 57 minutes? No, 37 minutes. 37 minutes to do 265. Hopefully we can. 12,501, says Matt, and they've only arrested 500? For the love of Pete, why is this government not ground to a stop and taken up this investigation to the exclusion of everything else? What's more important than people attacking the government? Oh, I know. And every day we get another story about some poor pissing and moaning maggot who doesn't like the food or doesn't want to wear the ankle monitor or wants to go and buy some more guns for some more insurrection because, you know, they're going to do it again. Or they're at least trying. They're certainly planning. Not the kind of thing that they're, that, you know, law enforcement says, hey, y'all, they're doing it again. No. Because what, they're going to bust them this time? Jesus. And not a treason charge in the lot. Even the people who injured people. Even the people who broke through. No. No. Serious questions. Megan says, one, I thought treason could only be charged when the U.S. declared war. And what's the difference between sedition and treason? Sedition is a defined statutory crime. Treason is actually defined constitutionally. That's the second question. And then it has subsequently been codified in the U.S. Criminal Code. There is an aspect that can only be... the treason language of the Constitution is a bit esoteric, but because it's written in that that term of art language of the late 18th century, but it's clearly clearly defined, struggling here for the right way to define it. 18 U.S. Code 115 defines treason, sedition, and subversive conduct. But in Article 3, Section 3, Clause 1, there you go. There you go, Bernadette. Treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. That's it. So theoretically, one cannot be an enemy unless there is a declared war against said enemy, which means neither Iraq nor Afghanistan nor Vietnam nor Grenada nor Panama could qualify, because they weren't. It becomes real slippery when you start trying to define enemy. But treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them does not refer to other nation states. Another nation state cannot commit treason against another nation state. That's just war. Levying war against them is a reference to citizens who make war on the United States of America, and it is treasonous conduct. And it's been slippery through history. Remember that vicious human being who beat enslaved people. I'm talking about old Bobby Lee. He hanged John Brown for treason against the state of Virginia. John Brown should not have been hanged for treason against the state of Virginia, because John Brown was not a citizen of Virginia. That's at least arguable. And long before that happened, Thomas Jefferson desperately tried to have Aaron Burr hanged for treason over the whole business of the Ouachita River plot. Jefferson was doing this because there was a possibility that things could have been found out about Jefferson's own behavior. That, the fact that he likely knew or should have known that James Wilkinson, General James Wilkinson of the United States Army, was actively involved in treason against the United States by virtue of accepting pay from the Spanish crown in exchange for information. But if Wilkinson had been busted, that would have been really bad for Jefferson, and Jefferson probably would have been impeached, and given the relatively small number of senators in the United States Senate at that time, might have been removed from office. But Chief Justice John Marshall presided over the treason trial of Aaron Burr and held that, he suppressed a lot of evidence that Jefferson wanted in. Jefferson hated his guts. John Marshall was his cousin. Everybody was everybody's cousin among the upper classes of old Virginia back then. So Marshall put the kibosh on Burr's treason conviction. And there, because among other things, there were no two witnesses to testify to Burr's conduct, because no person shall be convicted of treason unless on the testimony of two witnesses to the same overt act or in confession in open court. That's troublesome language, and especially in the era of electronic media. Can two different people's videos of the same... Yeah, that's probably the central problem with all of this, especially considering the degree of trouble that the Supreme Court has had with treason charges over the years. Thank you so kindly to our dear sister Jude in the Great Northwest. Jude just got us down to 255 to go on Bruce's Memorial Challenge. Thank you. Thank you, Jude, so very much. Yep. And the answer, Bernadette got it, and Billable Rick got it first. The answer to the trivia breadcrumb trail this evening is Gamma Chi, because the name is referenced in Hey 19. Mm-hmm. And then the fraternity that's referenced by virtue of the Deacon Blues is the three songs, My Old School, then Deacon Blues, and then Hey 19. Deacon Blues references, it makes reference to the University of Alabama. Sigma Alpha Epsilon was founded at the University of Alabama by former pledges to Phi Gamma Delta, my old fraternity. Yeah, it's been a heck of a breadcrumb trail. I've enjoyed it. And just running back to something, we were talking about the fires a little bit ago, something that Darlene had mentioned. And that's what they're saying about having to do with the smoke. I was surprised to learn, Darlene says, that the heavy smoke in the air we experienced in Connecticut last week was from Canada. I heard people complain, but I reminded myself that we got off easy. What they're going through in Canada and California is far, and Oregon is far worse. Air quality here has been excellent for the past few days. And of course, like you, I'm upset that July was such a shitty bust weather-wise and that we're now in August. Before you know it, everything will be going into dead mode with the leaves turning colors. Darlene reminds us, I hate the fall. I hate it with you, Darlene. We are the society of autumnal despising. SOAD, S-O-A-D, Society of Autumnal Despising. Despisement? Despisement. And others are free to join if you wish. There's no pledge process. And nobody has to ride a goat. But yeah, it's... And it was here, August, West Virginia. This is supposed to be the hottest, most miserable time of the summer, which means I love it. And this morning, the low temperature at like 6 a.m. was 58 degrees. It never even crossed 80 here today, and it was sunny. Fucking climate change. Thank you very kindly, Bernadette. Bernadette just got us down to 230 to go on Bruce's Memorial Challenge. So Bernadette jumped in on the effort toward a Moran Monday miracle, the 3M the Moran Monday miracle. Yeah, Bernadette said, yeah, I kicked in on the challenge. I'm sending you $25 for breaking my brain with the breadcrumb trail. Thanks, says Bernadette. I needed that. I know, it is. It's fun to sort of just kind of pretend that shit's normal once in a while. I mean, we all know it's not, but it's not, what does Jake say at the end of The Sun Also Rises? Wouldn't it be lovely to think so? Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what? Let's end this 2 hour and 33 minute filler robster. Let's go over and check in with Reggie down in Decatur. Hey, Reggie, how are you, buddy?
How you doing, Robin?
I'm good.
Why are people like us such as Megan Kelly picking on Naomi Osaki and Simone Biles, you know, for thinking of the mental health before anything else, you know, like attention, fame, fortune, all that stuff.
Why? Because it's a good dollar.
Yes, why?
Hate sells real, real well over in the vile and swampy cesspits that people like Megyn Kelly occupy. I mean, I think it's really a character judgment, or it tells us a lot about character. You know, I was talking earlier about my experience over the weekend at over at Maggie's, which I love so very much. They've got a sign there.
Yeah.
And it says, judging a person doesn't define who they are. It defines who you are. Judging a person right. doesn't define the person being judged. It defines the person doing the judging. And it's absolute, right. and it's absolutely true. And that's exactly what, I don't know if you've seen it, but you know, all of these assholes say, you know, Simone Biles and Naomi Osaka, they're a disappointment to the new United States of America. Because, you know, if I was on one leg, I'd still be out there at gymnasting. You know, and these are the brave members of the 420th Couch Patrol from the right wing, Reggie.
Yeah, one of the go out and enlist the military thing, if they're so fucking as gung ho and big and tough and all that stuff.
Well, it's the same thing, you know. They sit in their easy boys, and they talk about, you know, well, you know, what we need to do is we just need to invade Mexico, stop all them Mexican immigrants coming through that ain't from Mexico. I mean, you know, they're from your Honduras and your El Salvador, and we just need to send the military in. Well, you want to go, Bubba? Oh, hell no, I got the lumbago.
What's that? Lumbago.
You never heard of lumbago, Reggie?
No.
It's bad. It's backache. It's bad backache.
Oh, backache. Oh, so they're spineless, huh?
Yeah, but you know they're more than capable. They're more than capable of telling everybody else how to behave. But I couldn't be prouder of Simone Biles and Naomi Osaka, and the young women mm-hmm. who went in and competed and. Brought back silver and gold. I'm proud of them too. But the more you find out about some of these sports, the uglier it gets. I don't know if USA Gymnastics will ever recover from the Larry Nassar scandal. It's you know what that man did to these and I say young women for women who are young adults. But in the case of these gymnasts who were sexually abused and sexually assaulted by Larry Nassar, who is in prison now, they were literally girls, Reggie. You know, we have this, and it's worldwide. Little girls barely out of puberty, maybe in the midst of puberty, in gymnastics and figure skating, and we completely upend their lives. And well, I was watching I was over on Instagram, and I saw a lengthy story posting from Michaela Maroney. You may recall that remember her? She was the one who like got silver, and gave that sort of side-eyed, closed-mouthed, sort of semi-scowl about how she got scored. Became immediately famous over. Well, you know, she's out of the sport now, but she posted a lengthy story on Instagram about how brutal USA Gymnastics can be. For instance, when at the time when she was being sexually assaulted by Dr. Larry Nassar, she tried to complain about it, and USA Gymnastics told her to shut the fuck up.
Right.
And among other things, her parents. Now this is a girl child, okay? This is not an adult. This is a girl child, and she is being kept in a hotel at the Olympics, and her mama and daddy aren't even allowed to be in the same hotel with her, a young girl. I mean, how does that not wind up being? I mean, that just sounds skeevy as hell from jump, because it's almost like they were trying to facilitate what they knew had to be going on.
Right.
And so she goes into an extended explanation of just how brutal it is on one's young body. She, for instance, talks about how they told her, oh, no, that's just an old injury to your toe. They made her compete on a broken foot. And her particular event was the vault. And holy hell, it really makes it hard to watch these Olympic competitions, knowing full well what is being done to the athletes. And then you got the other asshole. You got that asshole American swimmer who, no, I ain't going to wear no mask. I mean, COVID's running like wildfire all around the world, but I'm not going to wear a mask. I done had the COVID. I don't need no... Jesus, the stupid. And just the rude, ugly Americanness of doing that in Japan.
Right.
When that country is on fire. Right. You know, what a bunch of self-absorbed shit.
Right. And what can we do about it, Robert? What exactly can we do about it, Robert? We can't just banish them to another planet and another dimension.
No, but there obviously needs to be... there needs to be a hue and cry about it. And I think there's been a good bit of pushback against anybody who wants to be an asshole about Simone Biles or Naomi Osaka. I mean, Simone Biles is going to come back and compete in one last event, I think. Maybe she already has. But we need to be supportive of them.
Right. Maybe that idiot Megyn Kelly should go out and compete for the Olympics and see how it feels. Like, you know, see what grueling task it would take upon her body, mind, and soul. You know, she should go and compete to see how it feels. Or am I wrong for saying that, Robert? Is that the effective for me for saying that about her, Robert?
No, I don't think you're wrong. What things like this, you know, with people like Megyn Kelly attacking her, or Cucky Tucky attacking the guy, the officers who testified in the January 6th commission hearing. It says everything about them and nothing about the people they're attacking. One, they're paid to do it, but two, the fact that they're paid to do it is because there is money in doing it, because there are a bunch, you know, there are millions and millions of people who will agree and get their marching orders from these awful human beings. And they are the way they are because of the profound absence of empathy that exists among the people of the United States now. It's awful.
Yes, it is. But you got people like those on social media that are going to attack anything that they hate, or that is different from them, or that they don't like.
Right, but they have to be cued toward that. You know, Twitter mobs form because someone gets the ball rolling. Somebody is the first snowflake in the avalanche, Reggie.
You mean like on Fox News, Radio Wonder,
sure,
and talk radio,
yeah,
conservative talk radio,
yeah.
Anybody else I'm missing? Anybody else I've missed out on?
I mean, you know, Fox, Onan, Newsmuck, Pink Shrek, you know, Joe Rogaine, Alex Jones. I mean, my God, Dr. Laura Schlesinger is still on the air. I had no idea.
Right.
I mean,
what about the Becker
kid? There's an entire universe of right-wing hate out there. And all they do is constantly beat this drum that, you know, that their audience is okay, but and everything with America would be great if it weren't for those people. And without fail, those people are people of color, women, lesbians, gays, bisexuals, transgender people, people from south of the border. People who practice the Muslim faith, and without fail, they are all marginalized communities. And part of the operating system here is to keep those marginalized communities marginalized, because ultimately the goal is to protect white power and to to advance white privilege. And the louder they get, the more you know, the more vociferous and hateful they become, the more you know that the world is changing. And it's changing for the better in that way, Reggie.
Right. and nobody's trying to stop them, unfortunately. Or can we stop them?
Oh, sure. We stop them when we tell the truth. We work towards stopping them when we tell the truth. When we don't just sit still and take it.
Right. And how? I mean, how is that a $4 million profit? I mean, media profit. You know, profit media, as you call them. How are they doing so far on that, helping us trying to stop it, or at least get the truth out?
Well, some are better than others. But at the end of the day, they're all profit driven. The ones that are for profit, they're profit driven, and that means profit is going to be at the top of the priorities list. I got to tell you, I don't know what you watch or how much you watch. Agnes and I have absolutely loved watching the first season of just a lovely and delightful comedy over on Apple TV. It's called Ted Lasso. Jason Sudeikis heads it as a really peppy, optimistic American college football coach who's been quite successful leading a Division II college football team to a national championship from the cellar. And he's hired, and I don't want to give away too much, but he's hired to coach a perennially unimpressive English Premier League soccer team.
Right.
And it is a delight to watch. It's brilliantly acted. You know, the great John Barrymore said, "Dying is easy, comedy is hard." Where acting is concerned, these people have it down.
Right.
I mean, you watch it, you watch it, and you just feel good. You just feel good.
Right. It sounds like the bet. Go ahead, Robert.
It sounds like
the Bad News Bears.
Yeah, but with it, not nearly as vulgar. Huh? It's really quite family friendly. Minus a few dirty words. It was a joy, but I stopped watching, or I didn't watch the first three episodes of the second season, because Agnes was away. And so instead last night, and there's actually a point hidden in here somewhere, Reggie. Last night I watched the first episode of something that got all kinds of kudos and big write-ups and everything in the TV critical media. Oh, God, it was awful. It's called The Morning Show.
What's the morning show?
It's also on Apple TV, and it's supposedly a drama about a morning television program, fill in the blank, the Today Show, Good Morning America, CBS This Morning, whatever. And Jennifer Aniston and Steve Carell star, and what a dog. I don't know what people saw in it, but having been correctly accused of being a practitioner of journalism once upon a time in my life, it was like, I cannot believe how awful this freaking is. It was bad. It was really bad. I got to the point where I was watching it just so that I could see the credits roll at the end, so that I could feel better about the people I was despising for having put this thing together, because I was halfway afraid I was going to see our dear friend Dan Fisher's name on it. I was like, oh, no, please, Jesus, no. I think part of the reason that it turned me off was it begins, and the central premise, or one of the central premises or the subplots of the first episode, has to do with a hard-hitting, truth-telling reporter who goes to a coal protest in West Virginia. And being a veteran of several coal protests in West Virginia, I can promise you this was nothing like that. And it's like, oh, why couldn't you make it Pennsylvania or Virginia or Kentucky or something? Why us? That is terrible.
Right.
And the storyline within it is just, well, yeah, maybe it's kind of truthful for where it is now, because, you know, this isn't broadcast news of the 1980s. Hell, it's not even, it's certainly not Patty Chayefsky's network. And it isn't even that one program that ran on HBO that was really, really good. What was it called? The Newsroom? This is just dreck. Oh, it's horrible. And they obviously spent a fortune on it. But God, it's bad. But the reason I mentioned it all is because the universe that exists in kind of is the universe that you're talking about. Because Reese Witherspoon is in it. She's an up-and-coming reporter. And she works for a conservative news network. But she has a conscience, and she's a real journalist. Oh, God almighty. Horrible.
Well, exactly how horrible was it again, Robert? Exactly how horrible was it again?
Oh, it was so bad by the end of it, I wanted to pluck my eyeballs out, dip my head in a bucket of lye, and walk screaming off a cliff. Awful.
Oh, that horrible.
Well,
that got awful, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it
why would they put?
And they sunk they sunk a fortune into it. No, they did. People thought it was great. People thought it was awesome. Oh my God, this is METV. Oh, this is wonderful. I'm sitting here going, really? And I guess maybe it's just because I'm a cranky old woman or something. Ugh.
Yeah, I guess so, man. But it wasn't. But then they made something even better than that, the morning show.
Well, I only gave it one episode. Maybe it gets better. But it's not worth me trying to find out. I mean, maybe if I'm having one of those days where I'm just really, really full of self-loathing, maybe I'll put on episode two. But not till then. Oh, God, it was bad, Reggie. It was bad.
No, I'm so sorry. Well, I'm so sorry to hear that, man, that you had a worse experience with watching the morning show.
Another
drama, huh?
Well, you know, no, this is a public service. I took one for the team. Don't. Just don't.
Watch it?
Yeah, don't.
Don't watch it.
If you've got Apple TV you're thinking, hey, maybe I'll watch this, don't. And, of course, because I'm saying this, people are going to go, okay, if it's that bad, I got to watch. And inevitably, I'll get an email saying, hey, it didn't suck that much. Well, we'll just have to agree to disagree on that because, oh, my God, it was horrible.
I bet it was. I bet it was, but idiots would watch something like that.
Well, Jennifer Aniston is the real star of the thing. And, I can see what people, she's smart, she's brilliant, she's beautiful, she's talented. And people, and I'm like, I watched Jennifer Aniston, and I was like, oh, honey, please. Why? I mean, I felt bad for her.
I did, too. She went from Friends to that.
Well, and not a lot, not a whole lot in between. Now, here. It's already started. Brother Deacon Asa says, also, you're exaggerating. The morning show was okay. I watched the entire season. I'm proud for you. I don't know how you did it, Asa, because I was leaking brain cells out my nostrils, out my ears, out my mouth, and out my eyes by the time I was done. Jesus, it was horrible. Now, on the other hand, yeah, okay, I agree with Brother Deacon Asa. Manifest is really engaging, but the best thing we watched in a long time is definitely Ted Lasso. Matt in San Francisco just said, please, Robin, don't hold back. Tell us how you really feel. I hated it, Matt. It was so bad that I was texting Agnes how awful it was. I can't believe I'm watching this. Oh, and I mean, the production values were fantastic. And it's so on point with current events because it begins with a Me Too allegation, and it was a soap opera. It was a soap opera, that's all.
It was but the average, everyday, stereotypical soap opera.
It sure felt like one, so.
Right. Yeah, I bet it did.
Well, thanks for holding so long. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate you holding as long as you did. It's good to talk to you, Reggie, and you have yourself a wonderful evening. You hear?
Yeah, you do too. Keep cool down there, Robin.
I don't think we're going to have to worry about that. I think autumn is going to be here before autumn should get here. And then, you know, then we'll get some hot, sweaty spell in freaking early October. I give up. There's no predicting the weather anymore. Not with climate change. No.
That's true. That is very true. That is very true.
Reggie, you have a good evening, my friend. Right. You stay cool down there. You're more likely to get roasted than I am.
I plan to. I intend and plan to.
All right, you take care now.
I intend on and plan to.
All right.
You do too, Robin.
Bye now. Our buddy Reggie, calling from Decatur. And getting perilously close to the end of the program. Darlene says, and we know why John Brown was hanged, and he was unapologetic and a true Christian man. Wait, allow me to correct myself. He was a true elderly Christian man at the time of his dastardly hanging. The property that is his birthplace is a hop, skip, and a jump from me, and the marker there is routinely vandalized and defaced by, wait for it, racists, of course. Very old photos of his salt box birth home when it was still standing shows a well-dressed and dignified black family posing in front of it and clearly residing there. Looks like a big family of mom, dad, 7 kids, and 2 dogs. Enslaved people who had been freed, but the photo's undated. The caption typically reads that the people in the photo are unknown or unidentified. Brown's birthplace is still raised above the road on that small knoll, and most of the stone wall in the front remains. The surrounding land's vegetation has succeeded, so it is heavily forested now. There's a single lane paved road in front, so you can drive right up to it, and provides a photo. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. You know, Darlene, that stone wall looks surprisingly like the stone wall that still exists out the road from me and is all that exists, perhaps minus, with the exception of a couple of apple trees, of my great-grandfather Goad's farm. Thanks for that. Jack in Shreveport says, shows you despise... And the Steve Carell Aniston show. I'm just not that into him, Steve Carell. I don't get his kind of stuff. For some past number of months currently, and who knows how long it'll still be there, The Office is on 4 major chunks of the day and night on the Comedy Channel. Well, the older South Park episodes are pretty much stale to me now. Seen them too much. And the newer seasons just didn't do much for me. I just can't watch The Office. That kind of comedy just doesn't compute for me. I'm with you. I tried, and I just couldn't. And I know that marks me as some sort of person who doesn't fully get comedy, but that's just comedy I don't get. And by the way, we are now, hey, Darlene, SOAD, S-O-A-D, now has 3 members. The Society of Autumnal Despisement has added Tom in sunny San Rafael to our number. So it's growing. Hey, y'all, it's okay to despise autumn. It's when everything is dying. So that. And, well, I'd say it's been a hell of a Moran Monday. We had Morans. We had story time. Auntie Robin's story time. And here in a minute, I'm going to find out if we can, because they billed me. They sure got the money for it. I'm going to see if I can upload to... Podbean and see if I can actually get a full month of podcasts out of it. So look for it wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be up in a matter of an hour or less. We will close the evening with $230 to go on Bruce's Memorial Challenge. That's $230 for the overnight crew if you'd like to see your contribution dollars doubled. And it would be wonderful if we could meet that challenge and be in decent shape for the beginning of the month. So thank you to all of our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal, and our a la carte contributors during the live program. Thank you one and all. You are the reason this program continues to exist and has existed for so long as it has. Thank you so much. And thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in this little exercise in independent liberal progressive broadcasting. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way. 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is, of course, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time to reach out to your member of Congress and ask him to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AHE Act. It means the world to Appalachia. Please stay safe. Get your vaccine if you haven't already. Encourage unvaccinated people to get theirs so that we can beat this damn disease. Please. Especially, if you want there to be a horn in. I want it desperately because I think we're going to have so much fun together. And it'll make our relationships during the show so much more real. And so much more... close. So observe all your first line defenses. Wash your hands a lot. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer liberally. Take it everywhere you go, a little bottle of it in pocket or purse. Don't count on where you're going to have it. Just have it for yourself. Wear gloves, nitrile gloves. They can be a real help. And wear your mask. We're back to wearing your mask. Wear your mask anywhere there are unvaccinated people. And that's half of the country. And a lot more than half in maggot states. Maintain your social distance. Remember, Paul from Parts Unknown tells us we're talking about 15 to 20 feet now. And I'm trying to maintain it. I'm doing everything in my power to do so. I hope you will, too. And for God's sakes... if somebody comes towards you, babbling about, well, they were so rude to me, and I need my license even though I didn't bring my old one with me. Y'all just do that. All right, find me the big guy. Avoid that woman like the plague, because she is. Later.